الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ويوم يعد الظالم على يديه يقول يا ليتني اتخذت مع الرسول سبيلا يا ويلتى ليتني لم أتخذ فلانا خليلا صدق الله العظيم وبلغنا رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين Respected brothers and elders, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Peace and salutations be upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. All praise and thanks is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has afforded us the opportunity once again to witness this wonderful and auspicious day of Jumu'ah. We remind ourselves of the words of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he said, خَيْرُ يَوْمٍ طَلَعَتْ عَلَيْهِ شَمْسُ يَوْمُ الْجُمُعَةِ. The best day in which the sun can rise is the day of Jumu'ah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instill within our hearts the respect and honor of this wonderful day. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the ability to send abundant durood upon Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the ability to make a lot of dua on this day of Jumu'ah. We should make dua for ourselves, we should make dua for the ummah of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created insan, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put us in this world for a temporary period. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our creator, has made the nature of man such that he has to interact with his fellow human beings. And as we journey through life, we will encounter many, many people who will accompany us in our journey through life. And also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created various bonds and various relationships that a man will experience during his earthly stay in this world. So a man will have his family around him. That's something that he has not chosen. Rather, it's a divine choice by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you have people that you associate with in the form of your family, and that is the bond of your family, of your mother, your father, your brothers, your sisters, your uncles, your aunties, your children. These are relationships that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has divinely accrued to you, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has proportioned for you your family. As the famous saying goes, that you can't choose your family, but you can choose your friends. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given man the ability that certain bonds and certain relationships are in his own hand, and he has the free will to choose whom he wants to associate with. And his nature is such that we have to associate with one another. One of the ways or the means to torture an individual is to keep him in isolation and stop him from associating with any other fellow human being. That's enough to drive a man insane, because his nature is such that he has to interact with his fellow human beings. But the nature of man is such also that when he interacts with his fellow human beings, it's either he will be influential or he will be influenced. It's a natural cause that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created. So either you will be influential in that relationship, or you're going to be influenced by the company that you are keeping, or by the person or individual that you are associated with. It's very, very far-fetched that a man says that, no, I don't get influenced by anybody, and neither is he influential. That can't really be possible. It's either we being influenced or we are the influential ones in that relationship. And there's one very, very important bond that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created, and it's something that Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has spoken about, a very, very important bond that Allah has allowed man to have in his worldly life. And that is the bond of friendship. This is something very, very deep. It's something very, very special. It's something very, very valuable. But if it's not used, if it's not looked after appropriately, and if it's not done properly, then it can also be very, very detrimental to a man. It's not something that we take for granted. Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam has highlighted friendship to such extent where he said, Al-mar'u ala deeni khalilihi. A man is on the deen of his friend. That's how valuable and what a role friendship plays in your life. That's how influential a friendship can be in your life, that your entire deen to a certain extent can be just based on your friendship, on the friends that you keep and the people that you associate with. And then a man said very nicely, he said, be careful who you have as your friends, for an evil friend can be more detrimental and more harmful to you than a wild beast, because the wild beast will go to the extent of harming your physical body. That's the worst that can happen to you. Worst case scenario, he will harm your physical body. But an evil friend, he will harm your soul. And that is much more detrimental to you than just your body being harmed. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that a man will be on the deen of his friend. Now friendship is something that Allah has given us the free will. When it came to our family, nobody chose who's going to be his mother, who's going to be his father, who's going to be his brothers, who's going to be his sisters. That we were not given a choice with regards to that. But with regards to our friends, Allah has given us the absolute free will that who is your friend, it's very, very, very important. And we look in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions a story regarding two friends in the time of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And from this story, we can gauge to a certain extent how detrimental a friend can be to an individual. Now, as I mentioned, we have friends and we are friends to many, many people. So the first and foremost thing that we need to do today, inshallah, is that firstly, we need to analyze, I associate with so many people, I'm the friend of so many individuals, what type of a friend am I? And after we go past that hurdle, we need to look at the friends that we have and ask ourselves the question, what type of company are we really keeping in this world? Because it's very, very, very important what type of individuals we associate with and what type of friends we are to the people who enjoy our friendship and enjoy our time. It's a wonderful bond that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given. Because with regards to your family, as I mentioned, it's a choice that was not given to you. But with regards to your friend, we know how strong the bond of friendship can be, how wholesome it can be, how fruitful it can be, that you just enjoy the man's company, you enjoy the man spending time with the man. You can, you know, you do so much for each other. It's a wonderful, wonderful friendship and a wonderful bond that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with. But we got to also be very, very careful how we associate with individuals and who we associate with. In the time of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there was a man by the name of Uqbah ibn Abi Mu'ayt. He was one of the leaders of the Quraysh, part of the Kuffar of Makkah in the time of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now this man had a habit, whenever he would go out of town and he would come back, he would make a whole feast and invite the whole town. Everybody must come and have a meal by his house whenever he comes back home. So on one occasion he had come back and he prepared a wonderful feast and he invited all the people to come and have a meal at his house, and Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam happened to be part of the guest list. Now there were numerous occasions where Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had tried to bring this man Uqbah into Islam, and Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would invite him, but he would flatly refuse, being one of the leaders of the Quraysh and one of the high ranking people amongst the enemies of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So now Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes to his place, everybody is seated, the food is served. Now when the food is served, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells the man that, look, I need to excuse myself, I can't partake of your meal. So the man says that, no man, you're my guest, the food is served, please, you have to eat. I mean, what have I done to offend you? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that, I'll only eat this food if you accept my invitation. You proclaim the Shahada, no problem, then I'm most willing to partake of your food. But if you can't accept my message, then I rather excuse myself now. The man looks at Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he looks at the situation, he thinks, you know, those of us who know a little bit about the Arabs will know how particular they are about their guests, that a man, you know, he has to be comfortable, they'll go out of their way. This was from the time of ignorance that they had this wonderful quality, that they would do whatever is possible to honor their guests to the best of their ability. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspire us with that. It's a wonderful topic on its own, just the honoring of a guest. It's a wonderful part of our deen that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taught us and blessed us with, for us to honor our guests. Today it's easier to take the man out for a meal than to feed him in your own house. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all tawfiq and grant us the understanding. But he looks at the situation and he says, look, I can't afford this man to go away. What the people will say, it's a tough situation. He says, okay, no problem. He pronounces the Shahada in front of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he became a Muslim. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam thereafter partook of the meal. Everybody went back home, story over. But you see, this man, he had a best friend. He had a right-hand man. He had a bosom buddy. Who was his best friend? His best friend was Umayyah bin Khalaf, one of the other leaders of the Quraysh, one of the great enemies of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This man wasn't present for the meal. He wasn't present for the situation. He was also out of town. The next day the news reaches his ear that, you know, your best friend Uqba, he's a Muslim now. He goes to his friend, he says, tell me, am I Yareen right? Did you become a Muslim? So this man Uqba says, hey, wait, hold on, let me explain the situation. Please hear me out, give me a chance. What other option I had? The man came, he was ready, the food was served, and then he didn't want to eat my food. I mean, I was in a catch-22 situation. I had no way out. I just said it for the sake of saying it. I mean, I had to save the situation. I can't let the man go out of my house. I had no option. I just said it for the sake of saying it. So this man, Umayyah, tells him that, no man, you're talking nonsense. I don't know whether I can trust you anymore. How could you betray me to such an extent? I mean, you call yourself a friend. I don't know whether I'm speaking to the same person. You need to prove yourself. You need to prove your friendship. Now, a lesson for each one of us. We have friends and we are friends to many, many people. No true friend will ever put a test to his friendship. No true friend will ever put a challenge forward to his friend. That, no, no, you need to prove your friendship. The moment that happens, he was not your true friend from the beginning. Had he been your true friend, he will never ask you to prove your friendship. He will never ever ask that of you. A true friend values that relationship to such an extent that he will go out of his way to honor you. He will go out of his way to preserve that friendship, but he will never ever test you. The day somebody puts a challenge forward to test friendship, know that that man was never your true friend from the beginning. There's something suspect over there. We should be very, very careful, because sometimes we go hook, line and sinker. The moment a friend puts a challenge forward, we take it as a sense of honor that no, now I need to show the man how close I am to him, how much our friendship means, so I really need to do it because he put the challenge forward. How many a youngster loses his entire youth and he gets lost into the world of vice just by the challenge of friendship? That, no, you want to be part of the gang? Light it up. I mean, prove yourself, let's see whether you're a man. No, you don't need to prove anything to anybody. We need to prove to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we are worthy of His mercy. We need to prove to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we are worthy of being recipients of this wonderful deen. That's the only thing we only need to prove ourselves to our Lord. We don't need to prove ourselves to any other individual. So the man says, prove your friendship. I want you to go and spit on the face of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Na'udhu billah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us. He said, I want you to prove your friendship. But in the meantime, wajhi wa wajhuka haram. He says, I don't want to see your face until you do this. When it's done, come tell me it's done. Then once again, we'll reinstate our friendship. So this man, he doesn't know what to do. That's his best friend. He says, no, I got to honor, I got to honor this friendship. The man put a challenge forward to me. Let me show him who I am. Let me show him I can do it. And then he goes, and this unfortunate and wretched man goes, and he spits on the face of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But the commentators of the Quran mention that when this man carried out this disgusting act and disrespectful act of spitting on the face of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the saliva that exited from his mouth, some of it fell back on his face and on his cheek. And this is in the books of hadith. We can read the books of tafsir. We can read it for ourselves. His face became burnt and scarred for life. The portion of his face that was touched by his own saliva for carrying out this filthy deed, burnt and scarred his face, and those scars were there till the day he left this world. So again, a subtle message. There's many people who verbally abuse Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. There's many people who have the guts to write against Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. If the man who decided to hurl his saliva against Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, only in this world alone, his face was scarred and burned till the day he left this world, and there's much more in store for him in the year after, then it's a warning to any other individual who dares disrespect Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam that you will definitely see the consequence of your actions in this world before you even leave it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant them hidayah before it's too late. And may Allah expose them to the beauty of the wonderful life of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But this is what happened. His face was scarred for life. But he did this act. And then he went back and he told his friend that, listen, I proved myself. I did what you told me to do. So this man Umayyah says, okay, now you're back in the gang. I mean, now I can see you're a man of your word. You carried out the act. I'm proud to have you back as my friend. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala depicts a picture or a scenario of the day of Qiyamah. And Allah says, وَيَوْمَ يَعَدُّ الظَّالِمُ عَلَى يَدَيْهِ. On the day of Qiyamah, this oppressor, the zalim, this man Uqba, he will be biting on his fingers out of absolute regret and remorse. يقول يا ليتني اتخذت مع الرسول سبيلا. He will say that woe to me, may destruction be upon me. I pronounced the shahada and then I left the way of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He will say ya waylata laytani lam attakhidh fulanan khalila. He will say may destruction be upon me, may curses continuously be upon me. How could I take that man Umayyah as my friend? I thought the man was my friend. He brought me to absolute ruin and destruction. How could I consider that man as my friend? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَكَانَ الشَّيْطَانُ لِلْإِنسَانِ خَضُولًا. But that is a moment and that is a time where shaitan is the most deserting to man. When he has led him to absolute destruction and now he is facing the fire of Jahannam, that's the time shaitan deserts him. That's the time his friends desert him. That's the time where there's absolutely nobody to help him. So this is just one scenario of how detrimental friends can be, that he took the man out of the honor of Islam and put him into the pits of Jahannam and the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He took the man from the honor of pronouncing a shahada to being enshrined in the Quran as an oppressor, to being cursed in the Quran as an oppressor. From where to where? Who did this? One friend. That's how influenced we can be by our friends. That's how influential we can be as friends. Sometimes little do we realize in what direction are we heading. These bonds of friendship is not something that we need to take for granted. It's something very, very important. It's something that is part of our deen. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al-mar'u ala deeni khalilihi. The man is on the deen of his friend. You want to know what type of an individual you are? Very simple. Who are your friends? To a certain extent, that's what type of an individual you are. You want to know about a certain man? Look at his friends, you'll know who he is. If he keeps good company, there's definitely goodness that's going to rub off on him. And if he keeps bad company, there's definitely bad that's going to come upon him in some way or the other. Whether he acknowledges it or not, how many times a man keeps bad company, but then he offers the excuse that, no man, I don't get influenced. Nobody can tell me what to do. They're doing the wrong, it doesn't mean nothing to me. I just sit there, you know, to have a light-hearted conversation. In some way or the other, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the example of good company and the example of bad company is like the example of a carrier of musk and the example of a blacksmith. Why? And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself explains this analogy, that a person selling musk or a person who's carrying musk, if you're in that man's company, at some point or the other, he'll give you some of that perfume to put on yourself. And the least that may happen just by you accompanying a person who sells perfume or sells musk, you will smell good, even if you do nothing. I mean, how often you walk into a fragrance shop and you come out smelling nice, but you did absolutely nothing. You were just there for the moment, the smell rubbed off on you. And as for the blacksmith, things that can happen by you associating with that man, your clothes can get burnt. I mean, we don't really see it in today's times, but it's something to see. Go to those people who are busy with steel and iron and they molding it and all that. It's something that we'll see live. Stand there when those sparks are flying, your clothes will get burnt. You'll get blackened. You'll be soiled. You'll be dirty. The least that will happen is you will come out soiled from that company or from that moments that you spend with that individual. So whether we acknowledge it or not, definitely our company has an effect on us. And unfortunately today when it comes to friends, we also going to be very, very careful who mixes with us, because sometimes we have very, very superficial in the people in this world that they claim to be your friend, but actually they're not your friend. You know, one person put it very nicely. He said, many people want to ride with you in the limo, or everybody wants to jump in with you in the limousine. But what you need is somebody who's going to walk with you to the bus stop when the limousine breaks down. I mean, when a man is influential, when a man is climbing the corporate ladder of success, everybody loves him, everybody knows him, everybody is greeting him. Sometimes a man who comes up in life and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed him with wealth, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us more, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect the wealth of individuals. But from far, I mean, the moment he'll enter, everyone will turn on, "Assalamu alaikum, how are you, brother?" So everybody wants to ride with you when you're in the limousine, but you need somebody who's going to walk with you to the bus stop when that limousine breaks down. What happens when that wealth is no more with you? What happens when that respect is no more with you? Who's going to stand with you then? You need individuals to greet you then. Today when a man is climbing the ladder of success, the moment he enters, everybody, you spot him 100 meters away. From far you'll raise your hands, "Assalamu alaikum." But let the man go through some difficulty, let him lose that status, let him lose that social standing, and sometimes he'll be right next to you. "Oh Maaf, I never see you, you were next to me." You never saw him, but a few months ago the man was 100 meters away, you saw him. Then you were lifting your hands, "Assalamu alaikum, bye, how are you?" Everybody has to make salam to him. We need to be very, very careful. We need to be sincere when we're a person's friend. And we need to have sincere friends. We don't want those people who only want to be with us when we're in the limousine. We want those people who will walk with us to the bus stop when that breaks down. We want those people to support us when times are difficult. My father, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless him with long life and good health. One day he told us a wonderful story. He said that, you know, there was a man who was battling in life, no money, things were bad. So when things were bad, nobody really looked at him. There were very few people who stood with him in his times of difficulty. And then the man started making money, and now he started coming up in life. And now he became a very, very wealthy person. Now when he was very, very wealthy and well-to-do, and he owned so many properties and so many cars, and he had a booming business, everybody used to make salam to him. So he had a habit, certain people would make salam to him, he'd say, Walaikum salam, have a good conversation with them. Then some people would make salam to him, he'd say, I'll give him your salams. And then he'll make a note of that person. And at the end of the day, when he's closing his shop and putting all his money away, he'll go there, buy all his goods, he'll go buy his money, he'll say, this person gave you salams, that person gave you salams, this one gave you salams. So one day his worker was there, his worker looked at this and he said, you know, boss, are you alright? Something wrong with you? I mean, you're speaking to things that can't hear. You're telling the money, this person gave salam, that person gave salam. He said, no, let me explain to you. He said, you see, I keep this list with me. There's certain people who always stood with me my whole life. I know them from the time I had no money. Those are the people that I don't give the salams to. But there's certain people that are greeting me not because of who I am, it's because of what I own. So I'm being honest and I'm being fair. I'm giving the salam to who it's really for. The salam is not for me, because these same people I knew my whole life, but they never bothered about me when I had nothing. Today when I got everything, they send in messages after message. Salam, how are you, brother? I'm in Makkah, I'm making dua for you. I'm thinking about you by the Kaaba. So that's why I'm passing over the salams. I'm saying, oh my wealth, Muhammad gave you salams, Ahmad gave you salams, that person is remembering you. I'm passing over the true message. We don't need those type of friends. We need friends who will stand with us irrespective of what's the difficulty. And there's a great responsibility when it comes to friendship. It's a great responsibility. We need to be true to our friends for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remember, all friendships and all bonds will be terminated. And many friendships and many bonds will turn to absolute enmity on the day of Qiyamah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in another verse of the Quran, Al-akhillau yawma'idhin ba'duhum li ba'din aduun illa al-muttaqeen. That on the day of Qiyamah, bosom buddies, the best of friends, people who would give their lives for one another, that love, that friendship will turn to enmity and hatred. They will become enemies to one another, except those bonds and those friendships who were based on the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Except those bonds and those friendships who were there for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We need to analyze all our relationships with all those people that we associate with. Number one, what type of a friend am I to my friends? People associate with me, people value my company, people value my advice. But why am I in that relationship? The honor of being in a relationship for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will secure you the shade of the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah, when there will be no shade except the shade of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When mankind will be drowning in their sweat, when people will be running from left to right, looking for salvation, worried and concerned, what is going to be what is going to be the outcome of their actions? Everybody will be in concern. Everybody will be in worry. People will have perspiration till their ankles. People will have perspiration till their knees. People will be drowning in their perspiration. On that day, there will be certain groups of individuals who will be enjoying the shade and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when the whole of mankind is in problems. One of the groups that will enjoy Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shade, وَرَجُلَانِ تَحَابَا فِي اللَّهِ اجْتَمَعَ عَلَيْهِ وَتَفَرَّقَ عَلَيْهِ. Those two individuals who only associated for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those two individuals who were friends solely for the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those two individuals who were friends only to enhance their deen and enhance themselves as Muslims, only to benefit one another in goodness. Those individuals will be under the shade of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah make it a reality for every one of us. What an opportunity we have. We are friends with so many people. We have so many friends. Let's make those friendships eternal. Let's make those bonds eternal. We don't want a friendship that we valued in this world to be a source of regret on the day of Qiyamah. And if we open Tafsir al-Qurtubi under this verse, الْأَخِلَّاءُ يَوْمَئِذٍ بَعْضُهُمْ لِبَعْضٍ عَدُوٌّ إِلَّا الْمُتَّقِينَ. We'll find a story over there that is noted by the commentators of the Quran. And they say that the example of this verse can be likened to two Muslim friends and two non-Muslim friends. خَلِيلَانِ مُؤْمِنَانِ وَخَلِيلَانِ كَافِرَانِ. Two non-Muslim friends, two Muslim friends. A Muslim friend passes away. He is raised before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When he's raised before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for reckoning, the man starts and he says, "Oh Allah, I just like to place and record. أَنَّ فُلَانًا كَانَ يَأْمُرُنِي بِطَاعَتِكَ وَطَاعَةَ رَسُولِكَ." That certain individual in the worldly life, he was my best friend. That man constantly told me to obey you. That man constantly brought me closer to you. He always reminded me that أَنِّي مُلَاقِيكَ, that I'm definitely gonna meet you, oh Allah. The man encouraged me towards good. He stopped me from doing evil. He did everything he could to protect me as a Muslim. Oh Allah, فَإِنِّي أَسْأَلُكَ أَلَّا تَظِلُّهُ بَعْدِي. Oh Allah, don't ever let that man go into misguidance now that I have left this world. وَأَكْرَمَهُ كَمَا أَكْرَمْتَنِي. Oh Allah, you must honor that man like how you honor in me. Whatever I did in life, it was because of him. That's the example of a good friend. That's the example of a Muslim friend. And now, the other individual leaves the world. He comes before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah says, you know, this is what your friend had to say about you. He would say, oh Allah, let me place on record. No, he's mistaken. It was actually him that did all the good. It was his advice to me. He encouraged me to obey you. Oh Allah, he's the one that did all the good. It wasn't me. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will look at his bond of friendship and Allah will say, ni'mal khalil wa ni'mal akh. What a fine friend you have. What a wonderful companion. What a good situation. You all both are praising each other. That's the friends we need to have. That's the friends we need to be. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it a reality for us. But the opposite of that, وَخَلِيلَانِ كَافِرًا, two non-Muslim friends, best friends, non-Muslims, together in evil, together in disobeying Allah. One man dies, he comes before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says that, oh Allah, give me a chance, let me place on record. Whatever evil I did in my life, it wasn't my fault. I had a partner in crime. All along it was that man. He kana yanhani an ta'atik. He stopped me from disobeying you. I wanted to go to the mosque. He said, no, let's go to town. Let's duck namaz. I wanted to do good. He said, no, let's do something else. He never reminded me that I'm going to meet you, O Allah. He never stopped me from disobeying you, O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But that's why I would like to place and record. I'm asking you, O Allah, Allah tahdihi ba'di. Look at this. Don't guide that man now that I have left this world. Keep him in misguidance. Embarrass him like how I'm embarrassed. Punish him like how I'm being punished. It's all his fault. And this deceitfulness we see in the world today. I mean, youngsters will be together, people will be together disobeying Allah. You catch them? No. It wasn't my fault, it was his fault. I mean, youngsters are smoking, somebody catches them. Not my cigarettes, it's his. They pass the buck. In this world we see this is so true. We see this deceitfulness that a man will never stand up and say and take the blame. He will always be passing the buck over. That's exactly the same scenario that's going to be in the year after. Now the other friend leaves this world. He comes before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says, this is what your friend said about you. The man would say that, oh Allah, the man is lying. It wasn't my ideas, it was his ideas. He made me disobey you. And now that he's speaking lies, I'm asking you to double his punishment because he's putting me in trouble for absolutely nothing. Now, you know, this. To what extent can we take this? Today we have technology that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with. So sometimes a man sends something inappropriate to his friend. So they both look at it and they both laugh. They both look at it and they enjoy it. But on the day of Qiyamah, the man will say, no, it's not my sin that I looked at that. The man sent it to me, it's his fault. Oh Allah, punish him, don't punish me. We need to be very, very careful. There's moments that we enjoy in this world. Let it not be that those moments are sources of regret and remorse for us in the year after. Let it be that the moments that we enjoy in this world will be carried over to the year after. And those friendships and those bonds that we enjoyed in this world, we will carry it over in the year after. We will carry it over and join the shade of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we will carry it over into Jannah. A good friend is a person who will advise you when you need that advice. Today, as long as a man doesn't advise us, he's our best friend. The moment he tries to correct us, to advise us, we become offended. But a true friend is the one who will advise you accordingly. He will be there for you in your times of need. He will do everything to protect your honor. That is a good friend. He will not just smile to your face and stab you in the back. He will do everything to protect you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all tawfiq to firstly analyze what type of friends we are to individuals. The best friends are those people whose friendship is based on the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the unfortunate ones are those whose friendships are based on something other than the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Today we'll give your life for that man, but there's a time that's going to come where you will probably cry, why did I ever associate with that individual? A moment of bad company, a man will definitely see the ill effects of that, and he will definitely see the bad side of it. But keep good company in this world. world and see the benefit of it in this world. So number one, the first thing we need to do, we need to ask ourselves the question, there's so many people I associate with, what type of a friend am I to them? I need to honor this bond of friendship. I need to give it its due right. I need to advise my friends accordingly. I need to be there for them in their times of need. I need to advise them when I see something wrong. I need to protect their honor. I need to make dua for them. And the people that I associate with, we need to be very, very careful. They say that you must treat all men very, very well and be fair and good and kind to every individual, all the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But select the best for your friendship. Be kind to everyone, speak well to everybody, but select the best of mankind to be your friends, because that's a whole different ball game. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all tawfiq. And we'll repeat the statement that there's many people who want to ride with you in the limousine, but you need someone who's going to walk with you to the bus stop when that breaks down. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all tawfiq. And the words of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, al-marru ala deeni khalili, a man is on the deen of his friend, فَلْيَنْظُرْ أَحَدُكُمْ مَنْ يُخَالِلُ. Be very, very careful and selective who you choose to be your friend. May Allah grant us all tawfiq. Another important thing just to add on with regards to friendships is that we need to keep ourselves segregated as well. Males need to be friends with males, and females, let them be friends with females. There should not be that unnecessary interaction between males and females. You can't have your best friend, that person who you allowed to marry. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the understanding, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to truly practice our deen. Males need to be friends with the males, and let the females have their own friendship. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the understanding. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين.